I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for February 29, 2012. Colleagues, there are only five items on the agenda. Item number one will be set to the bottom of the agenda, awaiting Senator Winter's potential arrival. We will go through these, and we will probably be back sometime later today. Okay, I will open a work session on HB 4017A. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 4017A will require an individual convicted of certain crimes and driving under the influence of intoxicants to install an ignition interlock device for 5 years after the reinstatement of their driving privileges. Under current law, an individual may petition the court to reinstate their driving privileges 10 years after having served their sentence, and they are required to have the ignition interlock device for 2 years. This bill will extend the length of time required to have the ignition interlock device from 2 years to 5 years. There is no fiscal impact in 2011, and costs associated with indigent participants of this program are paid for by the Impaired Driver Prevention Fund and the Addictions and Mental Health Division of the Oregon Health Authority. It is anticipated that the indigent costs will plateau at $158,000 in December 2019. Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4017 be reported out to pass.
Any discussion on the motion before the committee? Seeing none. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session on HB 4040. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4040 establishes the Oregon Growth Board and the Oregon Growth Fund to encourage investment in and availability of capital to Oregon businesses and to further economic development. The bill requires the newly established board report by January 2013 on its recommendations and proposals for investing in and managing monies in the Oregon Growth Fund. The bill also includes additional provisions that do not become operative unless reapproved during the 2013 session. These provisions establish the Oregon Growth Fund, abolish the Oregon Growth Account Board, transfer oversight of the Oregon Growth Account to the Oregon Growth Board, and administration of the Oregon Growth Account from the State Treasurer to the Oregon Business Development Department, and permit the Oregon Growth Account to be used for investments other than investing in or providing seed capital to emerging growth businesses. All of those latter provisions are repealed prior to becoming operative and would only become operative if the legislature removes or modifies their repeal during the 2013 session. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval with the -A12 amendments, which maintain the growth account in the Education Stability Fund and transfer its oversight to the new Oregon Growth Board. Thus, the new Oregon Growth Board will have responsibility over the investments of both the Oregon Growth Account and Oregon Growth Fund. The amendments also continue the dedication of 10% of the Education Stability Fund monies to the Growth Account. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 4040 be amended by the A12 amendments and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Yes. Representative.
I know this is going to sail right through. I really have some problems with the state thinking it needs to have programs for economic development. I think we're going the wrong direction, because what happens when you get state money involved, it inevitably becomes politicized, where only certain people will get it, or people who are in the know, and even people who are in the know and know that this money is out there, I don't know. I just don't think it's the right direction to go, and I, putting on my small business person hat, have known of these programs before even getting into the legislature and tried to access. They're really not available to everyday, you know, small business people. It seems like they're either more available to the local governments or, you know, people that, like I said, are in the know or politically connected or have a politically correct sort of business plan, then I just really think we need to take a look and see, first of all, are these programs effective? Second, should we even be doing them? Third, if we are doing them, let's not put so much state money into things like this and just let the businesses operate.
Thank you, Representative Thatcher. Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Please note, Representative Thatcher, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. HB 4061, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you. House Bill 4061 creates a 10-member Special Committee on University Governance. The Special Committee is charged with reviewing, discussing, and analyzing issues of governance within the higher education system, including recommending legislation for the creation of local governing boards. The committee is required to begin work no later than April 15, 2012, and to complete a first draft of its recommendations and report to an interim committee of the Legislative Assembly related to higher education by August 15, 2012. The committee must allow 30 days for public comment on the first draft. The special committee is required to submit a report of its findings and recommendations to the governor and the Legislative Assembly by November 1, 2012. The task force sunsets on the date of the convening of the 2013 regular session. The bill directs the committee to consult with national experts to examine best practices in models of university governance and authorizes the committee to accept contributions of funds and assistance from any source, public or private, for this purpose. At this time, the fiscal impact of the bill is indeterminate, but is anticipated to be minimal. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 4061 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I have a professional relationship with Eastern Oregon University, and therefore, just to be cautious, I want to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Any other discussion? Yes, Representative Smith.
I would just like to add one other comment that wasn't included on the prepared notes. With this bill, we're helping our universities and higher education system adapting to a changing academic and fiscal environment and help them pursue excellence in the 21st century.
Any objection to the motion before the committee? Let's see, Representative Thatcher, Representative Cowan. Seeing no other, motion carries. Mr. Rocco, can you inquire as to if we can change the carrier on the Senate side for this to Senator Edwards?
Sure.
Close that work session, open a work session on HB 4131A. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 4131 directs certain executive branch agencies with 100 or more employees that have not attained an 11-to-1 ratio of non-supervisory employees to supervisory employees to increase ratio of non-supervisory employees to supervisory employees by at least one non-supervisory employee by no later than October 31, 2012. If the ratio of an agency remains less than 11-to-1 after this date, then the agency is prohibited from filling supervisory employee positions until the agency has increased the ratio by at least one additional non-supervisory employee, and by October 31st of each subsequent year must lay off or reclassify the number of supervisory employees needed to increase the agency's ratio by at least one non-supervisory employee. Since that's clear, I'll go on. The bill creates for an exception to the ratio attainment requirements if, upon application to and determination by the Department of Administrative Services, a state agency demonstrates that an exception is warranted due to unique or emergency circumstances. The bill requires that the exceptions granted are to be reported to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means, or to the Emergency Board. Your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 4131 be amended and be reported out due pass as amended, and with the understanding that those agencies, this is focused on those agencies that have not yet attained the 11-to-1 ratio. For those agencies that have surpassed that, we're not asking that they add more supervisors, okay? I mean, the goal is for greater efficiency, not meeting a ratio. This is to help motivate those that cannot seem to reorganize in a more efficient way to achieve at least the 11-to-1 ratio.
Senate, you're not keeping up. I got four requests on the House side. Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, this bill started last session in the committee I co-chair, General Government and Consumer Protection. Good policy we passed last session. We came back and implemented it. The sponsor, Representative Denbro, did a great job working this through our committee. With the Dash 8, it addresses some gives flexibility to agencies they need to get to the ratio. I think it's also a right step, an important step in the right direction. SEIU and DAS will work together on any of the current practice. Also, it gives permanent bumping rights to classified workers who choose to go into management. This will make the system clearer, fair, and subject to less disruption. Good bill should pass. Thank you.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Judge. I will not be supporting this bill, and I have talked to a variety of folks on the subject. My concerns are around the lack of clarity of what exactly the job responsibilities are of a supervisory individual in any given agency, and the fact that many of them carry caseloads and other issues. I don't think that an arbitrary ratio is the way to go.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I also will not be supporting this bill, and that may come to a shock of some because I'm all about getting the ratios right. The problem is the bill doesn't contain, in my opinion, the right language to allow supervisors to do it in the appropriate way. Two of the bigger agencies we have in the state, DHS and Oregon Health Authority, I've had an opportunity to talk to the directors, and they clearly have told me that without the proper language to have the at-will type language in the bill, it doesn't allow them to get rid of the correct staffing to do this bill. So they're just going to end up having to go in and cut what they determine as the wrong people and not keep the right ones. And because of that, I can't support it.
Okay. Representative Nolan, then Representative Smith.
My comments have already been made. I think this is a logical and fair and responsible evolution of what we've been doing, and I think we ought to move it forward.
Representative Smith.
I would echo what Rep. Nolan just said. Thank you.
Very briefly.
Yes.
Thanks, Coach. I just want to point out the sheet that Representative Dembrell provided for all of us, for anybody who actually wants to go through the pieces of it. I appreciate the information.
Okay. We've had the discussion. Any objections to the motion before the committee? Please note Representative McLean, Representative Cowan, Representative Freeman, and no others. Motion carries. We will now go to SB 1570, which will be, they're practically twins, but
I think Senator Winters looks like might take that as a insult, but we'll deal with it later. Senate Bill 1570 requires medical assistance coverage of prescription drugs that are mental health drugs, immunosuppressant drugs, or drugs for treatment of seizures, cancer, HIV, or AIDS. The bill establishes a sunset date of June 30th, 2016. At this time, the fiscal impact of this bill is indeterminate. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1570 be reported out to pass.
Discussion. Any objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Colleagues?
Yeah, I think we have two members who were not here when we voted on the first bill, and if we could just kind of rule
on the vote. With no objections, suspend the rules to allow two members to vote on HB 4017. Is that Representative Wisnant?
Aye.
Okay. And who is the other party?
Representative Nolan.
And Representative Nolan.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
And you're an aye also.
Yes.
Okay. Please note that for the record, Senator Winters is excused. And with that, we are not adjourned.
Mr. Chair,
we are.
Yes, okay. Senator Verger.
And Senator Verger is excused also. I'm sorry. We are not adjourned. We will be recessing. So please watch your email.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you have a Senate carrier for 4017?
I think one was assigned in the committee. I'm not sure who it was.
Okay. I have a mild interest in that bill.
Oh, I think I'm...
That was my... If you want to do it, that's fine. I was assigned
to it. Not a cemetery bill. I don't know.
47.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Rocco, will you see if we can change the carrier on that bill?
Do you want the carrier?
to Senator Monroe, and if Senator Nelson can take the bill that I was assigned.
I mean, I can't get out of it.
Okay, with that, we are recessed. Please watch your email, probably in the early afternoon, so we can tell you whether or not we'll be meeting again today. But we are recessed, not adjourned.
Thank you.